Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Don't you enjoy springtime? And you know, April showers bring the bloom in May. Yeah. Praise God. And here we are. Well, and you need to send us your testimony. While we lived in Washington, we attended great churches with good teaching and fellowship. In 1991, promoted to headquarters position at Andrews Air Force Base. We could feel that the spiritual atmosphere was oppressive. The closest word church we found was over an hour away. Soon a friend told us Kenneth Copeland had started a daily broadcast. Right away, we were glad that we were nearby UHF station. Remember those? Some of them don't even know what a UHF station. Anyway, no satellites. Thank you, Clyde Thomas McGee. So, who is that? A born-again, Holy Ghost-baptized child of God that synchronized the first satellite in outer space. And through him, we had a worldwide communion service. Right. You like the little plastic things? Mm-hmm. Huh? That's what Welch's did for us so we didn't have to have glass ones at the convention center. Anyway, and then brought it down to churches all over the United States and the rest of the world. And so we could watch together every day. This is our big introduction to KCM. It was so good to get solid word teaching. Our next military assignment was in Germany, praise God. Due to the teaching on the BVOV, our faith had grown along with increased inability to support the spiritual and financial needs of the church and friends. We watched KCM events over the internet, but in the early 90s, it was about a dollar a minute. So instead, we listened to cassettes. I don't blame you. That's where we got it. Praise God. Only with no cassettes back there. Then it's reel to reel when glory to God. And we were making cassettes. The BVOV helped keep our hearts full and steady, and we filled more VHF tests with daily BVOV. It was so good to consistently get the daily dose of the Word. BVOV has been a key to our spiritual growth, our understanding of the Word, and how to operate God's way in spiritual things and natural things. We are so grateful to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the teaching and consistent encouragement through the BVOV. Tom and Theresa. Give the Lord God a praise for that great testimony. Hallelujah. And wherever you go, tell somebody your story. And I have people say to me, well, if you let him in there, he just tells a story. I'm an old guy. I've been doing this 58 years. I got a lot of stories. You don't just stand there for a while. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, first chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, class, we know in the Gospel of John, in Egypt, you remember Lazarus, come forth, loose him and let him go. What does that mean? In Egypt, they learned to mummify and wrap each finger. They didn't know anything about embalming. They never heard anything about that. But they learned this in Egypt. And he was standing there in this cocoon-looking thing, and somebody had to chop him out of there. When Mary ran in there and looked in that tomb, and the Hebrews believe that the Spirit lingered 4 days. You remember he waited 4 days before he went to Lazarus? And the napkin was here. They ran in there. There's that cocoon-looking thing without anybody in it. It's just his shape. It wasn't an empty tomb. It was an empty cocoon. They looked at that and said, he's gone. He's gone. Somebody's taken him out of this thing. I wonder how she thought they got him out. And she turned around thinking he's the gardener. Remember the way he got her the first time, I was calling her by her name. Mary Magdalene. That wasn't her last name. She was from Magdal. So he just turned around. She said, Mary, Master, I have not yet ascended to your father and my father. Go tell my disciples. That's where the book of Hebrews was written. Now, we know from the scripture, from the 22nd Psalm, in the Classic Amplified, starts out with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is finished. David wrote that. So read it in the Classic Amplified. And like I said earlier, that's a KM publication anyway. So you can order it from us. And the words that he used to raise him from the dead. There had to be words. He's in hell. Oh, Brother Copeland, don't awe me. I know the book. And I had a lot of people in Hereford, Texas, right there. I had preached it. Well, Peter preached it and David prophesied it. And I'll leave my soul in hell and leave and see my body in corruption. Second, third chapters of the book of Acts. And so there had to be words to raise him up. Amen. He prophesied that so Jesus, his son, would have a weapon in hell to defeat hell with his own words. I mean, just destroy him. Bring him to nothing. He had been the God of this world when Adam bowed his knee to him. And now he had to bow his knee to the name of Jesus. He had to bow down. I mean, just, and these words right here went into the bowels of this earth. I mean, and I just like to say this, I mean, demons bouncing off the walls of hell. But you have to remember, the first covenant saints were not in heaven. They were in Abraham's bosom. They could look down there and see it. What do you think David's thinking? I'm paraphrasing. He's using my stuff. I wrote that. Now, God, who had sundry time and different manners spoken time past to the fathers of prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, not the power of his word, by the word of his, the word of his power. He created it all with the words out of his mouth. We have a problem with a being that's always existed. Whoa, we get to heaven. We've got, well, just the rapture of the church, we got 1,000 years to discuss this thing. Then we're coming back with him for judgment. Yes. Hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now listen to this. For under which of the angels said he at any time, you're my son, this day have I begotten you. You get it? He raised him up. I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son. Let him die. I had the Lord say that to me. Let me die. If you don't let me die in hell, you never will understand life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly until it overflows. He said, I promised that when I was on the earth. But unto the Son, he said, your throne, O God, is forever, and ever a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You've loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, hath anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation. You remember Elohim, plural? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Elohim said, light be. They shall perish, but you remain. And they all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shall you fold them up, and they'll be changed. But you art the same, and your years will not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And out of there he came. And wrote the rest of this book. Arabia. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard. Verse 9, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. In one place, it said a little more lower than God. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Taste it. Now, if you don't know God, you can taste it. One time, many years ago, I was invited into a man's room and had gangrene. And his leg, he was about to lose his leg because of it. And so the man took me in there, and he showed me all of it. You could smell it, man, that gangrene. And I said, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, I touched his toe anyway. I said, no, you don't. No. You get out of there. You get out of this man. I already knew he was born again, man. I said, this is a holy body. You just get out. That thing growled at me. It was a devil that was there. It's none of my business how it got in there. But he yielded some way or another in his mind. And anyway, he couldn't, you can't taste it when you die. You can't feel it, you can't hear it, you can't see it. The easiest thing you ever did in your life. You hang on to it to the last minute, and then you just come out of this thing, and your clothes fall on the floor. Anyway, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified or set apart are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call us his brethren. Oh, thank God. Now, back to the day. Somebody slipped a little red book called The Blood Covenant by E.W. Kenyon. And I was in one of the worst meetings I've ever been in my life. I thought, I was in Amarillo, I 3 weeks of this. And I was driving away, Brother Copeland, I brought you these. And he just handed me a plastic sack, looked like it came out of a grocery store or something. It wasn't a paper sack. I said, thank you. And I turned around. I was driving almost a new Buick. And so I just pitched it in the back seat. And so I went back to Houston to preach for Hilton Sutton again. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to preach now. What am I going to do? And the Lord stopped me at the door. Tonight, I'm adding to you the anointing of the teacher. Now, I had been preaching because Oral Roberts laid his hands on me, and I learned how to write a partner letter. But I like to teach, but not like Brother Hagin. That just, I said, what am I going to do? He said, go look in the back seat of the car. E.W. Kenyon on the Blood Covenant. And he had a little Sunday school things, and I had a book. Now I didn't have this back then. God is faithful. It was right on time. Now, I pointed that out with that in mind. And you just see the Apostle Paul out there in Arabia, caught up into the heavenlies. And he's there with Jesus. And he's just talking to him. And I said, Lord, why did this man go through so much? He said, well, my original apostles were uneducated men, and that was the power of it. But he said, I needed a man that was highly educated to prove that this covenant works after I went to heaven and sent my spirit. He said, this is the most highly educated man that I had available to me. And he proved that this covenant works under all kinds of pressure. I mean, under the kind of thing you can think of. They beat him nearly to death. They stoned him and thought he was dead, and they raised him from the dead. And he just, and that same day he left. I mean, they stoned me to death. At least I'd waited a couple of days before. No, he just got up and left again. Three or four nights in the D, three times 40 stripes less one. Anyway. And in the midst of the church will I sing praise. What? And remember it says he led captivity captive? Out of the bosom of Abraham into the heavenlies. Now here, I'll show you why. Hebrews chapter 9. Therefore, it was necessary that the patterns of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, or his blood. So, Adam's sin went all the way to heaven up to, but not including the throne of God. That was the reason for the Ark of the Covenant. That was the reason for it in the first place. It was such a supernatural thing. Aaron's rod budded. It was overlaid with gold. It was so precious. And he put his blood, all of it, on the heavenly mercy seat. Went back and said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. No blood. His veins are running with the glory of the living God. Hallelujah. He said, they were frightened. He said, wait a minute, don't be afraid. Handle me. Before he said, don't touch me. But now all of this had been accomplished. It was finished. And he came back and he said, handle me. A spirit has not flesh and bone as you see me have. And then they saw him again out on the shore. He was cooking fish. Where did he get the fish? If I was a fish, I'd have jumped out of the water and got up there. He just summoned them. He created them.
That's right.
No, the angels put them there. He said, I could call 10,000 of them and set me free, but I won't do it. So he just spoke the word, and the angels laid the fish out. And he said, do you have any meat? Well, come. But he already had a fire built, and he already had fish on there. And it's all in this book. Therefore, brethren, boldest to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of having faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil consciousness. Now, I want to get right through. How much time do I have, Tim? Oh, that's perfect. Thank you. In this 10th chapter, For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and the very image of the things, can never, get that, can never. I'm telling you, I'm going somewhere with his. And the fuse is lit. Okay. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, listen, this is for us. The worshipers, once purged, should have no more sin consciousness. Oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, which are you? But the covenant provided for that. Should have no more sin consciousness. Now, come on. Then he said, lo, to do thy will, O God, he takes away the first, the second. What is that? He took away the first covenant and established the second. Yeah. Ours. Yeah. Ours. The Messiah belongs to us. Glory to God. Their sins and an oh. This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and an oh, glory to God. Their sins and iniquities. Their sins and iniquities, television, your sins and iniquities. Listen to me. Listen to me. And put a smile on your sweet face. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more because of his blood. I won't remember it anymore. Whoo, glory to God. Now, where remission, not atone. Remission. Atone means to cover. This is do away with. The remission of these is there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart of full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Glory to God. And now, I wish I had more time in this, and I'm preparing it now where I will spend a lot of time in it. Let's go over to 1 John. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands and have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, you know what? That's just an invitation. Come join us. And that's the reason you give an invitation. Come join the group. Somebody said, what about the early church? There's not any early church, latter church. It's all the same church. Church just means gathering. Anyway, how much time? Oh, perfect. This then is the message we've heard from him and declare unto you, God is light. Whew. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't the truth, don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, whether you feel like it or not, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. We out of time, Tim? He said to me one time, Kenneth, when you confessed that sin wasn't when I found out about it. He just said that's when you got rid of us.
That's exactly.
But you have to believe it whether you feel like it or not. Praise God. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Discover how simple the answer to every question and every problem in life can be in God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction, a new book by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stephens. In this approachable book, dive deep into what a covenant is and what it's for. Discover what your covenant does for you and learn to overcome every contradiction and obstacle. With every covenant promise comes a contradiction. When you read in the Bible that by Jesus' stripes you're healed and the diagnosis comes back incurable. Or when you're facing a towering stack of unpaid bills. When you read that God promises you prosperity. Common sense and human reasoning rise up to shout, there's no way that God's promises will happen in your life. Thank God, covenant men and women throughout time have refused the contradiction and praised through in faith to the end result, the blessing promised by God. And you can too. See the Bible unfold more clearly than ever before in God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction. Order your copy of God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction by Kenneth Copeland and Greg Stephens. The sinless blood of Jesus was necessary for man's redemption. Order your copy today for only $19.99 at kcm.org/TV special. Gain revelation of the blood covenants in the Bible. Ebook also available. Offer good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply.
Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Gloria and I pray for our partners every day. I pray for our partners every meal. And believe in God for that 1 million partners right here in the United States. We got a college to build. It's the endowment of this university eventually, glory to God. And yes, I'm so excited about all of this. And all of this material is made available to you. And in the covenant book, covenant prosperity scriptures. I mean, they're all here. They're all here. You don't have to spend all the time Greg and I did studying all this. I mean, here. And the 50-year commentary Bible, glory to God. We're doing our best to get everything. Share your testimony with us. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.